Matthew 21. Start in verse 33, but I can't see. So somebody's going to have to read it. Matthew 21, verse 33.
Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
Let's go to Isaiah 65. No, 59.
Are we done with this?
Yeah, we're going now to Isaiah 59.
You mean I can talk about it?
Yeah, we are in a minute, but I'm going
to... That's what I'm asking you. Are we done with it? Are we coming back to it?
No, we are. We're done with it, if you understand it.
But I don't understand.
Okay. What don't you understand?
I don't understand what happened here.
What happened is... This is the whole issue of why man is no longer to be tested. It's settled, hopeless, that once they killed his son, the human race is no longer to be tested. Remember, the Jews were the representative of the human race. If the Jews could be saved, then the human race could be saved. This is a parable to show they couldn't be saved. Now, the issue now is, will you fall on the rock, or will the rock fall on you? To fall on the rock means you're torn to pieces. But if the rock falls on you, you're nothing. Okay? Want to discuss it anymore?
No.
All right, now go to Isaiah 64. 59 first.
Did you say 59?
59, yeah.
59.
Well, we should read the whole chapter, but we're not going to. He's talking about the failure of the whole system. And it's, I'm going to try to read this one. Starting verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and somebody else needs to read.
Revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stand far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that parteth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment.
Okay, stop a minute. It says, and those that departed from evil make themselves a prey. That means they've been seduced. So now we...
But they departed from evil, now they're a prey?
No, they let themselves be seduced. They make themselves a prey. No, you departed from evil, but you made yourself a prey because, well, the truth here is because you're still using your mind, and you're still being, therefore you've resurrected the evil one, therefore you've made yourself a prey. All right, continue.
And he that saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate.
That's enough. There was no man. There was no intercessor. So his own right arm has gotten him the victory. Now the word for right arm there is zeruah. It's the other, the better translation of it is the seed. Let's go to Isaiah 63, I'm sorry.
So if you're left-handed, it's harder to lean on your right arm than left-handed. Sorry.
California. Where we go?
Isaiah 63. Well, we could... talk though about the whole, well, let's just start in verse 3. Pete?
All right. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. The day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I would tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and will bring down their strength to the earth.
All right, now go to Psalm 98. Somebody read the first couple, read the first two or three verses.
I'll do it. Well, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Okay.
Make a joyful noise unto
the Lord. That's okay. I mean, the whole psalm is incredible, but the parable about the husbandman and the vineyard fulfills these prophecies in Isaiah and this psalm. He looked and there was no man. And when he looked throughout, not just, he looked from the standpoint of eternity. And he saw that it was, he had given man every chance for salvation. And now he looked and there was no man that heard. None. There were some that saw the mystery, but there was, they saw his right hand, his own right arm. Now, once they killed his son, then it was over. Now, the whole point of this, and we've done this, we've talked about this many times, but it's appropriate now, again. Adam and Eve were created innocent. The best word that we can use besides innocence is naive. Did not have the capacity for self-awareness to see themselves. Now, this is a critical issue because it defines salvation. Unless you be converted and become as that little child, that darling infant, you can nowise enter the kingdom of God. And so, because it was first tested in Adam and Eve. But the snake, the test had to go on. So he caused Adam to name the names. Now once he named the names, then he saw separation between himself and the other. You understand that? Once he saw separation, then the evil one, the snake, the mind, gave him the capacity to see separation. Now he's going to see if he can remain in innocence after he named the names. The test didn't go through Adam, it went through Eve. Because she had missed one point. The point she missed was you cannot even touch the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the fruit of the tree that knows good and evil. If she had touched it, when you touch it, you have dominion over it. What you eat, you become. And so once she ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then she knew for herself good and evil. Right and wrong. Once, because as she fell into the trap of Satan, that she would be as a god and know good and evil. Do you understand that? Is there any part of that that you don't see? All right, so what happened? He first created man in innocence. He created Adam and Eve, and by a series of antagonisms, they were to be transformed into holiness. Innocence isn't what God wants. God wants holiness. But innocence without being tested is garbage. So God then proceeded on the test, to test the innocence, and they failed the test. So, that's why the scripture in Matthew is critical. Unless you be converted and become as that little child, become as Adam and Eve before the fall, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. This is why we cannot, it's impossible to use your mind to understand the scriptures, to understand the mystery of God. It can't happen. There's a great wall. It's not a wall. It's a great mirror, so that everything you look at says, what does this mean to me? How does this affect me? And so, all right. So next, they were tested without the law. And what happened? It was like Satan entered into the universe again. And I mean, the sons of God had intercourse with the women. There was all kinds of weirdness that took place. But the bottom line was it had to be destroyed. So there was a flood. And 8 people were saved. According to the people that I trust, these were the only 8 whose seed had not been mixed with this evil one. Okay? Now that's hard to understand. Sons of God having intercourse and creating people. But that's what it says happened. All right, so they had the flood. Then it was tested with the restraints of human authority, the Noachian law. Remember that? You don't murder, you don't eat blood. That was about it. What happened? Massive idolatry. Then he selected one family. But through this one family, the seed of Abraham, the mystery could be completed. The one that was started in the Garden of Eden. What happened? They fell into bondage. And we could go on and on about why that happened, but the point is they fell into bondage. The main reason is the famine that occurred in the Promised Land was a minor famine, it says. And yet, Abraham took his whole family and left. We're down there where they could get goodies. So then they gave the perfect law. The law was spiritual. And those that saw that saw the mystery, saw Christ, the Messiah, in the law, in the parable, in the temple itself, in the offerings. But what happened? Again, massive rebellion. And he sent his prophets. And that's where we were in that parable we just read about the husbandman. And then he sent his prophets, and then he sent greater prophets, the prophets greater than those. The prophets were stoned and beaten and killed. And finally, the biggest one was Isaiah, was sawed in half from the groin up. We can't even imagine that. Then what happened? He sent his son. What happened? He was cast out and crucified. And once they killed his son, then it was over for the human race. That's why it says, in 2 Corinthians 4, that when one died for all are dead. Now, all these things failed. There's one more thing he did. One more wild thing he did. Let's go to John 20. Jesus gave them one more chance. It's not good not to be able to see.
I bet I know where we're going. Verse 22, right?
Yeah. Well, go start in verse 16. No, I'm sorry. I saw the 9 and I had a dealy on it, but I saw it upside down. Go to 19.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
All right. So he did one more thing. He sent the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? Go to the next chapter, the first couple verses. First few verses.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed him himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing.
Okay, now, when they said they'd go fishing, that didn't mean they were just going to go for relaxation, cast a fishing rod. It's they go fishing, it means they were going to now use the Holy Spirit to improve their lives. Does it sound familiar? And that failed. So now, the flesh is no more to be tested. Now it's resurrection only. It's settled that it's lost and hopeless. Baptism sealed that. That's what the baptism was about. It sealed it forever. The flesh is no more to be tested in any way. Now the only test is to see whether you will continue with him in his temptation. It's settled that your temptation is lost. It's no work. It's worthless. It can't work. Now God makes a people of himself, of his own seed, begotten unto an alive hope. Not based on any performance, but based on only the life of his son in you. And the only requirement for his people now is emptiness. Not leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. We must now be those who continue with him in his test. And what's his test? His test, because he needs, in order for the manifestation of him to be complete, he needs the total and complete renewal of your mind. So that the only thing your mind does is empty. And the Holy Spirit then becomes your only guide. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're there. Again, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the humility of Jesus and the humility of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't then take your thoughts and sanctify them. He doesn't take your thoughts, your ideas, and help you accomplish that. To those that can hear, they hear the voice from heaven. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Those three things: patience, keeping the commandment of God, and the faith of Jesus. Here are they that have the patience of God. Here are they that keep the commandments. And here are they that have the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Never again lead them. Now God in his mercy, the rock hasn't fallen. I mean, we must fall on the rock. If we don't, the rock will fall on us. We will be destroyed. We will be altered, mind-bendingly changed by falling on the rock. But if the rock falls on us, we will be dust. This is the gospel. It's not good news to man. It's not good news to any of you or me. Good news to God. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's my gospel. Hallelujah. You can say it's my gospel. Because it testifies of your death. Total. No more. It testifies that you have seen and live that all in the world, all in time and space, is vanity and emptiness. Its only purpose is antagonism, to see if anything can cause the evil one to resurrect himself in you. If he does, then the rock falls on you, not you on the rock. Because it's not falling on you as a person, it's falling on the evil one. This is what I've been preaching for 40 years. More than 40. It hasn't changed. This is the gospel that caused people to come here. At least to stay a while. But it's the death of self-interest. Never again leaning on our own arm of understanding for anything. Never again returning to cause and effect. To reach that point is what sanctification is called. But I promise you, there will be no sanctification. You will return to zero if you're using your mind without repentance. Amen. Thinking these things. Muse on them. Pray on them. Search it out. Take it big time.